The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. And they came to believe the scripture and the words Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them, because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord. At the time of Jesus, the temple was God's home. It's the place that had been built for God to abide, for him to dwell there, so that the people of Israel could come at least once a year to offer sacrifice. They could come and pray. They knew that's where God was. You might think that that means that it was God's house. Because for us, the word home and house are pretty synonymous. When we think of a home, we think of probably the place that we live, whether it be an apartment or literally a house. And we imagine it's the walls and the things we have in it, our possessions and the people that we live with, generally. But I think that the temple wasn't necessarily God's house. And instead, it should properly be understood as God's home. Because if we imagine our dream home, that dream home is probably has certain dimensions, a certain size, but the home isn't so much focused on what we have in it, how big the kitchen is, how many bathrooms there are. Probably imagine more in our dream home the time we spend with the people that we love. That'd be for holidays or parties or the times we have intimate moments with our family around the TV or around a fireplace. That a home is a place of relationship. That it's not really about the walls, but about the things that happen there and the people that we're there with. I think for Jesus, that's why the temple was God's home. Wasn't the exclusive place that you could find God, but it was the place you go to be in relationship with God. And so sure, in some ways, the things that adorned the temple were important and the things that we do there are important, but they pale in comparison to us restoring that relationship to God, our Father. That the temple as a house pales in comparison to the temple as a home. Because if it's just a house for God, then we need to be focused on all the different ways that the dimensions are just right, that we have everything we need for sacrifice, like oxen and animals, and that the money's being changed from Roman coins into temple coins. I don't think it's just Jesus saying that these people are greedy and trying to make a buck off of the religious practice at the time. It could have been part of it, but I think Jesus sees that all of the people have become so distracted by the stuff of God's house, and that they've lost the relationship with the God that is meant to dwell there. And instead of it being God's home, it had simply become God's house. It had been reduced to something else that we as humans could control and make sense of. And it was meant to be the place that we come and encounter the one that we have no control over. The one God that we want to be obedient to and follow each and every day of our lives. Actually, I think the Ten Commandments offer a very similar framework that we hear in today's first reading. That the purpose of the Ten Commandments is to set the people of Israel and us as followers of Christ, to set us apart from the rest of the world, to make us a people that is holy. Originally, that holiness didn't mean that we were perfectly saintly and we did all the good stuff all the time. Really, in the Old Testament, holy just means they were different from the rest of the world. That they should look different by the ways that they worship God, not making false idols or worshiping other gods. That they should look different, not just in the way that they speak, but in bearing the Lord's name. Little sidebar and little rant from Father Devin. The second commandment is not really about cussing or profanity. Right? It's really about bearing the Lord's name, that the way we look like him, we should actually start to act like him as well. That's a homily for another day, but just so you know, I don't think it really has to do with us accidentally using bad words. That's also bad, but I don't think that makes it the second commandment. Anyways, these Ten Commandments are meant to lead us in being in relationship with God. Of seeing that the ways that we worship, the ways that we live each and every day, the ways that we sure don't steal and kill and commit adultery are kind of the baseline. But the point is that God is saying, in all circumstances, I want you to be able to be in relationship to me. That everything in your life actually comes back to being part of the holy people of God. But how often I think we, like the people in Jesus' time, reduced the temple to simply God's house that they could control and they could make sense of, how often we reduce the Ten Commandments and the moral law into things that we can handle. We think, okay, if I just don't do anything too bad, then that's good enough for God. Whereas when God looks at the Ten Commandments and Jesus sees the ways that we're following him, it's not really about if we did enough good stuff or avoided all the bad stuff. The question is, have we allowed God to dwell with us? Have we become a temple that allows him to have a home in our lives that we can actually be in relationship with him all the time? Instead, like the people of Jesus' time, have we just reduced it to the things we can handle? To the times that we know we're close to God, to the times that we can do the right thing, and we kind of hide or pull back when we know we aren't close to him. So the goal of God's temple and the Ten Commandments is for us to be in relationship with him. That there can be a dwelling for God always. Not just when it's convenient, not just when it's easy, but at all times to have a place in the world. That it won't just be God's house, but it will truly be his home. I think as we walk through this season of Lent, we want to see how Jesus does that on the way to his passion and cross. It's always leading us to follow Jesus into the glory of his resurrection. And in the Gospel of John, which is where our gospel comes from today, he has three different instances of the Passover. This is actually the first instance of the Passover in the Gospel of John. So it's really early on in the Gospel of John. The driving out of the money changers is one of the first public things Jesus does. It's quite different from the other three synoptic gospels, which put it much closer to when Jesus is crucified. In Matthew, it happens kind of almost at the beginning of Holy Week, that when Jesus triumphantly enters into the city and then he goes and drives out the money changers. Now, the reason John has three Passovers, and I think why he puts this scene in the first one, is because he actually wants to connect the cleansing of the temple to Jesus' death and resurrection. At this point in each of the Passovers, the three Passovers that he gives us, is that it kind of culminates and leads up to the Last Supper and the crucifixion. So in a similar way, that's what Matthew's doing. He wants to connect the cleansing of the temple to the crucifixion. That's why he puts it chronologically closer. But the reason that this is connected to the passion of Jesus is because it shows that God is always dwelling with Jesus. There's no circumstances at all that Jesus is not going to be faithful and obedient to the Father. Even if that makes it him look kind of crazy and out of control and in anger driving out these people from the Lord's house, even in that, he's going to allow God to dwell with him. Even if it might be unpopular, if people may misunderstand it as they say they do in the gospel, even then, Jesus will still be obedient and allow God to dwell with him. So I think the gospel today is wanting to remind us that Jesus shows us how to always be in relationship to God the Father. To do that when it's convenient and easy, and to do it when it's very inconvenient and very difficult. That in that way, the goal of each and every day of our lives is to always be in relationship to God our Father. To always allow him to dwell with us so that we can become his temple. Not just a house where he comes and goes every so often, but the place where he dwells. The place where he abides and has intimate relationship with us. Brothers and sisters, let us pray that this season of Lent will be set apart in that way for us. Set apart not just to do the things of God or to kind of work our way back out of sin and evil. Instead, it can allow us to abide with God, to make a house and a place for him that he knows us and we know him. Allows us, like Jesus, to always be in relationship to God. That even if it leads to suffering and abandonment, as it did for Christ on the cross, even if it's difficult and we don't really understand it, like you think it was for our Blessed Mother on the way to the cross, that in all moments we can be in relationship with God our Father, allowing him to dwell with us so we can be a holy people, a people set apart and marked by the love of God.